This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. New research reveals that it only takes 2 weeks of not using your legs to lose a third of your muscular strength, leaving younger people on par with a person who is 40 to 50 years your senior. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, in the studio with us to discuss inactivity and its impact on your muscles. We all know when we work hard in the gym and you know how you don't go to the gym for a week or two and how you go soft. How do we make sure you know we don't go soft, and how, you know, how do we keep that muscle strength going even during times of inactivity? He's here to explain more. Welcome to the show, Dr. Harjit. How are you today?
I'm fine. It's a momentous day today.
It is.
Thank God we are not speaking politics.
We'll try not to.
Oh, please don't.
Inactivity, muscle strength. We'll stick to that. Is there a difference between muscle mass and muscle strength? The word seems to be used interchangeably. Yeah. I can actually even throw in muscle atrophy in there. I mean, what's the difference?
I think that's a good way to start. Now, the muscle mass is the amount of muscle that you have. Okay, it's the structure that you see. So, you know, you can have a big, huge biceps, and that indicates that you have a good mass. But the strength often does not correlate solely on the size of the muscle. You also have to have the neural coordination of the muscle functioning very well, where all the fibers are functioning in a coordinated manner, and that gives you the strength. So a big size muscle is not necessarily the strongest. A muscle which is well built, you know, you have done your weight training well, you may not buff up completely, but you are strong. So that's a measure of strength.
That's interesting.
Strength is the power.
And how do you make sure you have muscle strength as opposed to muscle mass?
Yeah, okay. It's actually going to depend on the kind of exercises that you do for the part that you want to develop. So, I mean, if you are a runner, you're obviously going to develop your hamstrings and your quadriceps. And you start off with technique training, and then you go into very sports-specific strengthening and resistance, and that gives you strength. It may not necessarily give you the bulk. Now, when you do weight training designed solely to attain muscle mass, particularly when you do it for bodybuilding, you know, you get a very nice look and a very big, large body, but not necessarily you'll be as strong as the guy who has strength.
Okay, so so when I work out, it doesn't mean that if I carry more weights, I'm necessarily going to be stronger.
Okay, you will get stronger, okay, but you do not need to have the bulk developing to indicate that you're strong. So you can build up a muscle strength without it looking much, much bigger.
Why is it some people are able to build bulk and some people are just not? And they can be carrying the same amount of weights, but it doesn't quite have the same impact on everyone.
I think it's how you actually develop your exercise program, okay? If you do weights which are high repetitions but low weights, you tend to get stronger and stronger. And it's a safer method than lifting a high number of weights, shorter repetition, where you bring yourself to a possible injury, although that's the one that builds your bulk faster.
What's your take on CrossFit? Which a lot of, it's the in thing now. Everyone's into CrossFit.
You see, the thing about CrossFit is it's intense and it's multifunctional. You have to have some level of a baseline fitness level before you get involved into it. There is always a chance of getting an injury if you go in unprepared, just like any other exercise. But it's a good way to work out.
Okay, you really think so?
Yes.
For both men and women?
Yes. If you already have a sober idea of exercise and how to do it safely, I think it's fine.
Okay. And of course, there's this talk about how inactivity will impact muscle mass. Are we talking about muscle mass or are we talking about muscle strength here?
I think you're talking about both. Now, if I think if we are looking solely at the way we view this kind of talks that me and you do, it tends to be sports based. Mm-hmm. It tends to be limb based, basically your legs, your upper body, and all. But we have to understand that inactivity also affects muscles of which have a role in the essential function of the body. Like, you can have atrophy of your chest musculature affecting your breathing. And that's very, very important. You can also lose bulk and strength of your core muscle, the abdomens and the lower back. And that has an effect in all activities that you do, giving rise to back pain. So it is important that keeping optimally active is a part of a healthy lifestyle, and it prevents you from having problems. And on the outset, it also prevents you from creating the potential of having health problems. It controls your diabetes well, your blood pressure is controlled, and you'll be healthier.
What, muscle mass and muscle strength?
Okay.
Helps control diabetes?
No, both ways. See, when you need to build your strength or your mass, you will be exercising. And we know there are changes in the hemodynamic function of the body. So generally, you become healthier. You also will watch your nutrition, because you tend to take, you know, this a more balanced diet, and you cut down on your junk food. So you have made an informed decision to get healthy, and everything goes into place.
Okay. And so the research that's come out says that, you know, if you're not using your legs for 2 weeks, this is younger people, yeah, you can lose a third of your muscular strength, leaving you on par with a person who's 40 to 50 years of your senior. Now, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, I think it's a scary way of putting it. Now, just like we build bone, you know, I've always said this, you build your bone up to the age of 30, and then there is a gradual decline, and in both sexes, the male and the female. As the female attains menopause, there is a sharp drop. Okay, the issue is about the same for the muscles. You build it up to a particular level, and then you have a steady loss of muscle mass. And that's often replaced by fat. So it's about almost about 5% of what you have after the age of 30. And if you're active, you tend to be able to maintain that. Okay. If you're inactive, two scenarios, you're either not exercising or you are injured, and say you've got a cast on the part. I think putting a cast on a part and you removing it after 2 weeks, you actually see that the whole area is thinned out, because muscle strength and mass and even muscle structure is kept optimal by moving the part and, you know, it being used. So when there is disuse or no use, then you tend to get into an atrophic state.
Why does atrophy happen faster for a younger person as opposed to the older person?
No, I don't think it happens faster, but it's more obvious in a younger person, because the older person already has a low baseline. So if he's going to lose, say, 5% of 100, and a younger fella is losing 5% of 300, the effect is much more dramatic. That's the difference.
What contributes towards muscle loss when you're inactive? Just the fact that you're inactive?
Okay. We now understand that the muscle is not... You cannot look at it as just one piece of meat, so to speak. You actually have the nerves running from the brain to the part, and the nerves running from that part away to the brain and other parts. And all of this, they function in concert to have optimum health.
It's an ecosystem.
Okay. Yeah, so... If you are not moving, there's no stimulus to the nerve, which then sends back a stimulus to the brain saying that, you know, this part is inactive for some reason. So there's reduction of the impulses to the muscle to keep its structure and tone. So if you're not using it, you're also having a deregulation of the nerve. So it tends to increase the chances of atrophy and weakness.
So does that also mean that muscle atrophy is more or happens more for a person who has been active as opposed to a person who hasn't been active? So I'm active and I have to now go, you know, I have to be inactive for a certain reason. I'm you know, injured or whatever. So is my muscle atrophy then going to be more than somebody in my position who has not been active previously?
No, I don't think that's the safe way to put it. We tend to send the wrong message. If you're active, your muscles are going to be in optimum health.
Yep.
I think that's the easy way to understand. Now, when you are inactive, you tend to lose that. So you lose optimum health going down. Now, if you're inactive from the outset, you are never having a good muscle state. And that is just deteriorating as it goes about, as per that 5% a year thing. So it doesn't mean that if you're active and you stop being active, you are immediately going to go way down and reach the other guy's level, but you are going to deteriorate.
For all of us who are active, go to the gym, you know, do some form of exercise and, you know, think we're relatively fit. And then you go on a holiday for 2 weeks and, you know, you don't do any exercise. And you come back and you feel really soft all over. I mean, yeah. Does it like deteriorate so quickly? I mean, do you lose muscle strength or muscle mass so quickly?
I think the fact that when we exercise, we train the body to function a particular way at a particular time. That means, okay, if morning, I'm a morning person, exercise, I do it in the morning, and suddenly I change the rhythm.
Yeah.
The fatigue that you feel, a lot of it is also because the rhythm has been changed. And you get, the body takes a bit of time to get back into the its mojo, so to speak. You do lose some of the benefits on the muscle, but 2 weeks, I think it's a bit too short. You have two kinds of muscle function and exercises. You have the basic ones that keep you healthy, and then you have the ones which are very specific to certain sports in an athlete. Now, if you are a badminton player, you know, you tend to build up your upper body strength for movement, the hamstrings for your jumps. Now, that's the one that if you do not train for a period of time, you lose that first before you lose the other things. So the sports-specific or activity-specific muscle activity, that's the one that goes off very fast. But your general muscle capability and strength remains.
Okay, we're discussing inactivity and its impact on your muscles. Up next, I want to find out about, you know, how you say, you know, swimmers, after they give up swimming as athletes, tend to put on weight. I've also heard the same for people who are involved in Bharatanatyam, the Indian classical dance. I mean, they do that as young people, give it up, and then they say, oh, she's put on weight because she's given up the dance. So what is actually happening in the body? We'll find out up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Ready?
Yep.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. If you have just joined us, welcome. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon in the studio with us. We're discussing inactivity and its impact on your muscles. Before we left off, I spoke about swimmers. Dr. Harjit, I mean, when they do it on a competitive basis, and even people who indulge in dance, Bharatanatyam, whatever sort of dance, as young people, they've built up a certain amount of muscle mass, certain amount of muscle strength, and when they give it up doing professionally, these sort of athletics or activity, they tend to put on weight. Now, is that a myth or what's going on in the body?
I mean, I would say that you need to look at it in a very global perspective. Okay, when you are an active athlete, you watch the food that you eat, you train constantly, and you generally are not too sedentary. Okay, now when you stop, most of the time you no longer watch so closely what you eat, okay? Or you may still eat the same amount of foodstuff and calorie intake, protein intake, which was okay when you burnt it out during your workouts, but now you don't, so you put on weight, okay? Now, by not exercising also, you tend to become sedentary, your energy levels drop, and you just flab up, I guess. So if you're going to say that it's only an athlete upon stopping sports turns to a flab and a couch potato, it's not exactly the case. It's just that there are changes that he was comfortable and allowed to do. That means you could eat a lot because you're going to burn it, and you required that energy to build yourself up. And if you stop exercising and you still eat what you eat now, it's what goes in. You have to burn it, if not it becomes fat.
But there's also literature that shows a significant loss of muscle mass is replaced by fat.
Yeah, okay.
Is
now,
that a bad thing?
Don't scare people. No, I think that...
I'm an alarmist.
Yeah, at least you got something to laugh about today. No, the
why
thing...
Why not?
Okay, the way I look at it is this. you know that you're going to lose your muscle if you are inactive, okay? And if you are inactive over a longer period of time, that muscle is going to be replaced by fat. Once you reach the stage where it's replaced by fat, you can't reverse that. So you can't create fat, muscle from fat. So the idea is that you keep yourself relatively active with, you know, a walk, a jog, simple stuff, and you tend to maintain it. Therefore, you only lose this age-related loss in the muscle instead of something more dramatic. But we cannot control the fact that as we get older, we will lose our muscle bulk and strength. And at that stage of life, it is very important, because forget about running, jogging, playing hockey, tennis. You require your muscles to also move about, have good balance so you don't fall, don't get too stiff, support the joints. So there's a lot of essential function of the muscle, which is for everyday activity and general health. So you have to keep active to maintain that.
What about muscle memory? There's something called muscle memory. Does that help slow down the process as we grow older?
I think the concept of muscle memory explains the fact that if I have always exercised to a certain level, when I take a break or unable to do those kind of exercises and I start back after 6 months or say 8 months, there is some element of a memory to the muscle which, hey, I'm familiar with this, and they respond much better. That's muscle memory.
A recent study found that recreational athletes who consistently worked out 4 to 5 times each week were able to freeze levels of muscle mass as they aged. Do you think that's the case?
4 to 5 times.
Is that muscle memory that we're talking about?
No, that's not exactly muscle memory. Now, 4 to 5 times a week it's a very good level of working out.
And when you say recreational athletes, are you talking about people just working out 45 minutes a day or half an hour a day, or is that good enough?
Okay, if you ask me 45 minutes a day, half an hour to 45 minutes a day, 3 to 4 times a week, very good. Don't overdo it. Excuse me. Don't overdo that. You also have to have a good exercise and rest cycle. And you have to vary your exercises so that you actually work out all different parts of the body. If you do that, definitely you are conditioning your muscles, just like weight-bearing exercises help the bone, and you do freeze the deterioration. I wouldn't say freeze completely, but you tend to slow it down. So that's why people who exercise moderately all through,
throughout their lives,
tailoring it based on their age and condition, mm-hmm. and you know, as you go on, you may need to tailor your exercises and sport, keeping it safe. They tend to do very, very
and
well.
And hence the reason why it's important to start as young as possible, isn't it?
Yeah, I think in introducing exercises to a child, to get him interested, to get him involved in this healthy lifestyle, you can't go and structure an exercise right away. You have to introduce it like a game so that they get excited and they want to get involved in it.
I just think you need to be a role model. That's all it takes.
Okay. Yep. Okay, that's the mother in you speaking.
As parents, you need to be the role model.
Very instructive. You have to be a role model.
It is true.
Yeah, okay. You have to be a role model.
As long as you're the role model, children will tend to watch and follow, whether you like it or not.
I think the caveat towards that is that our adult-based goals, even if you are role models, do not apply to the child. So you can be a role model. You can take them out to nature and show them how beautiful things are.
Yep.
But if they are tired and they need a break and they can't keep up, you know, you keep it that it's not, oh, you're wrong, can't you keep up? You know, you let them enjoy it. Then they will also build their endurance, continue and get involved in it more.
Okay, so manage your expectations. Because some children are going to like it and some children are not.
Children, I think, don't have expectations.
No, we as parents need to manage our expectations.
You have low expectations, get them hooked on, and once they like it, they probably outdo us.
Yeah, and they may even like it 20 years down the line. You never know, right?
Oh, they better. good for them.
I know what sort of a parent you would be. If it's inactivity caused by injury or disease, right? Are there complementary interventions that sort of slows down the muscle loss?
Yeah, okay. Now, okay, let me give you a simple example. Say you've broken a bone at your wrist and you're casted. I always tell my patients that, okay, now you have a problem at the wrist. There's nothing wrong at the elbow or shoulder. So I tell them that exercises which involve the muscles moving the elbow and the shoulder is ongoing. And even finger movements, if it does not, it's not detrimental to the healing of the part. So you always exercise the parts which are around the area which is injured and you keep that healthy. Now, we cast or we immobilize you as minimally as we can for a duration that's shortest for healing. Once we take the cast out, there are physiotherapeutic methods, basically regaining your range of motion, and ultrasound, TENS, you know, electrical nerve stimulation to help you strengthen up and get back everything.
Does that happen to everyone, or it works for everyone?
It works for almost everyone. Although there are a small group of patients who tend to not get it too good, and they normally get better over a longer period of time.
Okay. Diet and the role of sleep. How does that help with muscle atrophy?
Okay. Technically, if you look at it, exercising your muscle, getting a bit sore, are actually indicative that you have worked the muscle and there's some amount of tiny spots of injury. And in using exercise to build up the muscle, the rest also allows it to recuperate. So definitely sleep and rest is very, very important. The kind of diet that you take, often people say, you want to build muscle, you take protein, you take protein. But it's not only that. You require a balanced diet. You require also the micro minerals such as zinc, magnesium, because calcium, all of this taken together will build muscle and bone. So it's not only that, oh, protein. You have to take it in balance and then you do well.
So when people have undergone muscle atrophy, how do you approach it in a holistic manner?
There is no change. If the primary problem was immobilization due to injury, once that's healed, you build up that part with exercises and you're fine. You don't have to dramatically change your diet. As we get older, you know, some will say, okay, you know, you take your calcium supplements and you build up. But the essential part is you cannot just take a pill and expect the muscles to be healthy when the essential thing is that you need to exercise.
And how do older people lose muscle mass? does diet, sleep and everything play a role as well?
We know that they lose muscle mass the same way that the young ones lose it. But they also have an overlap of these age-related changes that are happening. And the thing is that when they try to exercise and build up, they are starting from a lower base.
Okay.
Unless they were active before.
Before. But it helps if you have been active before.
Definitely. You see, what are the expectations when you exercise? If I'm much, much older and I exercise, I want it to help me with coordination and the way I move. You know, no longer it's, I want to zoom from one end to the other. So I want my body to function so that when I need to do something, I don't just stumble and fall and break my hip.
Okay. There's also literature that shows that older people lose lean tissue faster than younger people during the period that they're inactive. And, you know, older people are prone to fall. Sometimes they have strokes. They, you know, sometimes are, you know, immobile for a longer period of time, and they tend to lose lean tissue. What's the difference with the younger person?
When you mean lean tissue, is real red muscle bulk. Okay, you already have it at a lower level and you are losing it because you are inactive. So that's the element of what we call disuse atrophy. That means you're not moving the part or using it. The body just stops sending signals there and everything deteriorates.
Right, and that can be quite devastating.
Yeah, the problem being you are already a bit immobile because of the disease and current health state that you're in. And you lose muscle, you become weaker. So it's just like a vicious cycle.
Okay, and how do we regain this muscle strength after a period of very long inactivity? What's the best exercise? How would you get us started on a regime?
Okay, I think the basic fundamental exercises of just being active, like walking, swimming, cycling, are the good ones to start. Based on your current state of medical problems or whatever base that you're on. And as you go on, you can add on some amount of weights, but get someone to guide you instead of just jumping in and injuring yourself. There are methods where we try to ask you to lift a particular weight and see what's the maximal you can lift, and then start at maybe 30% of that. But that's just a calculation that we start you on. The idea is to understand that you need to exercise to keep the bone, the muscle, the joint, the whole part of your body, including, you know, your respiratory muscles and other parts, healthy. It is also necessary to understand what's your base capacity, and you start from something on that level. The third one is build up from a good base and do it safely.
Okay. And are there any tips to prevent the loss of muscle mass?
I think you have to understand that it's important to start as early as you can. And the exercises that you do need not be extreme, dramatic. You can always start slow and build up instead of aiming high and then giving up halfway.
Okay. Your message on inactivity and its impact on the muscles.
Understand that the muscles, the bones, the joint parts, even your brain, they all function in concert to keep you healthy. So although this talk is only about the muscle, you have to look at it in a global manner.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, discussing inactivity and its impact on your muscles on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.